Let's open our Bibles, please, to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. We'll read these verses responsively. Let's please stand for the reading of God's Word. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Let's also read together the 7th verse. And the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Let's pray. Father, ours is a wonderful opportunity to be a part of this church and to hear a great man of God. Father, if we don't even come close to realizing the importance of this hour, help us out of respect to keep our minds alert, our hearts quiet and receptive, and to give attention to thy word and to the man of God. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
I love to hear him sing. It reminds me so much of me when I was his age. I don't know what he said, but I don't want to know what he said either. Open your Bibles. Doesn't matter where. It's all good. Genesis chapter number 6. Give you Howells Anderson College students time to look for it. And now that you Howells Anderson College students have found it, we'll give the base section time to find it. Yeah, page number 13. All right. But they can't count higher than 10. That's their problem. Now then, keep your place there and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. It's amazing. I turned right to it. It was right where that paper clip was. Well, I know this book, I tell you. I took about 15 minutes this afternoon to find it and put a paperclip here. Now, put your marker there in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Turn back to Genesis chapter 6. And we'll be using both of those passages tonight. I want to speak tonight on the subject, the sin that caused the destruction of the world. Must have been a mighty bad sin. I mean a sin that would cause God to destroy the entire population of the earth. And ladies and gentlemen, it was no small population. It was a big population, no doubt, of multiplied hundreds of millions of people. And that earth population was totally destroyed except for 8 people. I want to talk tonight on the sin that caused it. Father, bless the service tonight, the message to our hearts and to our lives. Amen. I gave some thought tonight to doing something I haven't done in probably 20 years. I almost cleared out these whole four sections here on the main floor and had the young people, the junior high and high school students of all ages and college students of all ages just to sit here. I almost decided tonight to put all of you in front of me and just to speak to the junior high school, and college students. But I didn't do that, but I want everybody in this room tonight who's a junior high student, a high school student, a college student, for that matter, everybody under college age and under, I want you to very carefully, what I'm going to say tonight could prevent you from having more heartache than you'll ever know. What I'm going to say tonight may be, if you will listen, it may be the most important message you ever heard since you heard the story of salvation by grace through faith. What could it be? What sin could be so bad that it caused God to be sorry that He made man and caused God to destroy everybody on the face of the earth? Now you listen to me. God destroyed every person on the North American and South American continent. God destroyed every person in Europe. God destroyed every person in Soviet Russia. God destroyed every person in India. God destroyed every person in Asia. God destroyed every single person in China. God destroyed every single person in Japan. Only 8 people in the cradle of civilization in the Middle East were spared. You talk about unbelievable tragedy, death, heartache. Only 8 people. What could be a sin so wicked that would cause God to destroy a race, a world? Could it be murder? No, it was not murder. Could it be homosexuality or sexual sin, adultery, homosexuality, lesbianism? No, it was not a sexual sin. You see, every time we read anything, we think it's sexual sin. For example, it says in Genesis 6, it said that the every imagination of their hearts were only evil continually. And the first thing we think about is sexual imagination. That's not what it was. What was the sin? Was it the sin of incest? That sin that is becoming so rampant in America and that is so nauseating to every decent person on the face of the earth? No, it was not incest. Was it the sin of idolatry? Placing something in place of God as your object of worship? No, it's not that. What was this sin? Was it the sin of drunkenness? Or narcotics? Was it the sin of a rock music group? No. What was this sin? Now I want you to look in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3. And the Lord said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Now look at me. In verse 3, God pronounces judgment upon the whole world. God said, in 120 years from now, I am going to destroy everybody on the face of the earth except 8 people. So whatever the sin was, it was committed in verses 1 and 2. Because in verse 3, God pronounced judgment. Now there's some awful things that we'll notice later on in verses 4, 5, 6, and 7. We'll not look at them now, but there's some awful things that we'll see that were a result of this sin. But what was the sin so wicked in the sight of God, so abominable in the sight of God, so filthy in the sight of God,
that God said, I'm sorry I even made man in the first place. And God said, okay, as soon as I can give Noah a time to build a boat that'll take care of 8 people and one of each of all the animals on the face of the earth, I am going to destroy everybody except 8 people in the whole world. Listen, can you imagine God killing everybody in America at one time? Or everybody in Europe at one time? But God killed everybody in the world at one time except 8 people. Now, I don't know what you want to do, but I want to find out what this sin is. All right? And by the way, it must be between verses 1 and 2. All right? Let's look at verses 1 and 2. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them. Let me stop right there for a second. Who were these people multiplying on the face of the earth? All right, now follow me. God made Adam and Eve. They had a boy named Cain, a boy named Abel. Cain killed Abel, so Abel could not be the seed carrier of the human race. He's dead now. Cain could not be the seed carrier of the coming Messiah because Cain was a murderer. And Cain was expelled from the presence of God, which men in those days were the place in the Garden of Eden and the fellowship with God. And Cain built a heathen race of people. In Genesis chapter 4, he built a wicked heathen civilization. Now, in the place of Cain and Abel, God gave Adam and Eve another boy. His name was Seth. And Seth became the seed carrier of the coming Messiah. So you have two different lineages, genealogies here being made from Adam. You have a wild, wicked generation of people coming from Cain. You have a godly generation of people coming from Seth. All right, now with that as a background, look at verse number 2 again. Verse number 2. That the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took themselves wives of all which they chose. Now look at me. Who are these sons of God taking these daughters of men? And who are these daughters of men? Somebody says that these sons of God were the fallen angels. And so many theologians think that these sons of God were the fallen angels, and that these fallen angels had sex with these daughters of men. I think that's the most foolish explanation a man could think of. In the first place, the Bible says that angels don't have sex. It says that in the kingdom age, that people in the kingdom, in the glorified body, will be as the angels. They'll either marry or giving in marriage, and there'll be no sex as such in the glorified body, just as the angels have no sex, and so it could not be angels, but something else. The next verse says, my spirit will not always strive with man. So it could not be the sins of angels here. God would have said, my spirit would always strive with angels. God is talking about men here. Sons of God saw the daughters of men. Somebody said, and I read this in a commentary, that this was people of quality or nobility marrying females of low birth. In other words, they said it was the high-class folks marrying the low-class folks. I got news for you. There are no high-class folks. All of us are low-class folks. And you folks that think you're high-class are lower than those of us who are low-class. Nothing in the world that nauseates God like pride. There are no low-class people. None. None. Now then, what was it? All right. Look, if you would, back to chapter 4. Of Genesis, back to chapter 4, and look at verse number 16. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east side of Eden. Now look at, if you would please, at Genesis, at chapter 4, verses 25 and 26. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God said, she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and so forth. Now, follow me carefully. Here you have the sons of God, that's the line of Seth. And the sons of men, that's the line of... Don't leave me now. Don't leave me now. Follow me carefully. Especially young folks. What was this sin? It was the Seth line marrying the Cain line.
God said, I want you not to marry whom you choose, but whom I choose. Listen to me. Listen to me. If I were sitting out where you're sitting, and I were listening to a preacher preaching on the sin that was so wicked it caused God to destroy the entire world except 8 people, I'd want to know what it was so I wouldn't get in trouble with God. And I'd be sitting there on the edge of my seat saying, tell me, preacher, tell me. If you're listening to me, I'm going to tell you. It was the Seth line, sons of God, marrying the Cain line, sons of men. Now you listen. God never wants his people to marry the devil's people. Never. Never. That was the first thing I want to say. Now, there are several other things about this sin, but the first thing about this sin, it was God's people marrying the heathen people. Now, teenagers, you listen to me. You listen to me. We hate dope, narcotics. We hate murder. We hate cursing. We hate adultery. We hate homosexuality. But God hates more than that his people marrying the heathen people. Now, since you only marry folks you know, you shouldn't date heathen people. You should not date anybody that does not believe this word is the word of God. You should not date anybody who does not believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You should not date anybody who is not born again, a child of God and on his way to heaven. And you should not marry anybody unless he walks with God and not only is a Christian, but a good Christian. And if you shouldn't marry anybody like that, you shouldn't date anybody like that. Now you listen to me. Tonight I'm preaching you, to you, the Word of Almighty God. I'm saying you ought to, but he's cute. Well, let him be cute. Choose somebody because his cute little nose. Choose some girl because her pretty lips. Those lips will sag after a while. Choose some guy because his physique. Would you like to know something? Would you like to know when I got married, I weighed 135 pounds and my waist was 29 inches? Would you like to know that I wore a size 37 coat? I can't even wear 37 pants now. I want to tell you something. I don't care whom you marry, most of her life, she's not going to be a beauty queen. And most of his life, he's not going to be Mr. America. I'm saying, listen, I'm saying, every child in this room tonight, every junior high school student in this room tonight, every high school student in this room tonight, every college student in this room tonight ought to say, I am not going to date anybody unless he's saved and separated. Now then, I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I want you to notice that these sons of God were more than just Christians. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That means in a church of unbelievers. That means in a ministerial association of unbelievers. That means in a national council of churches of unbelievers. That means in business with unbelievers. That means in marriage with unbelievers. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? And what part hath he that believeth with infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Look at me. God said, every person who is saved is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And God says, everybody who is saved, I am their God, and they are my people. It does not say everybody that's saved are my children. It does not say I'm the father of everybody that's saved. It said of those who are saved, I am their God and they're my people. Now there is a way where you can become a son of God, but not by being saved. Look at it. Verse number 17. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Out from among what? Well, it's very plain up here. Says, what fellow? Look at verse 14. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? You're supposed to come out from among unrighteousness. And what communion hath light with darkness? You're supposed to come out of darkness. Verse 15. What concord hath Christ with Belial? You're not supposed to run with the devil's crowd. And what part hath he that believeth an infidel? That's somebody that's not saved. Come out from among them. Verse number 17. And be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not. Didn't say fellowship not, touch not. It means not one drop of liquor. It means not one puff off a cigarette. It means not one touch of unholy sex. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now you listen. God said, to those of you who are saved, you are my temple. I am your God, and you are my people. But he said, there's a second relationship I want to have with you. I want to treat you like my own sons and daughters. I want to treat you as if I were your own father. He said, when you get born again, you're my people, and I am your God. But when you get separated and don't walk with unrighteousness and don't walk with the infidels and don't run with the wrong crowd, God said, I will become your father and ye shall be as my sons and daughters. Now when God said that the thing that caused him to be upset and punish the whole world was when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, what was it? The separated people were marrying the unseparated people. It meant that the squares in the school were marrying the rebels. It meant that the kids that keep the rules in school were dating the kids that don't keep the rules. Won't you marry somebody that's pretty in the sight of God? Let me tell you whom God sees as pretty. The rule keepers. The clean kids. The hard-working kids. The honest kids. The respectable kids. The rebellious kids. That's why I don't like those City Baptist kids up there in the corner. First place, they're not supposed to be up there unless they're with an adult. I don't mean one adult for 100 kids either. I'll tell you what. I'll guarantee you, they'll stay up there for 6 months and they'll be rebels. I'm not saying you're rebels, you're in the balcony. I'm saying when teenagers migrate by themselves and want to get as far away as they can from God's man, they're going to end up with the wrong crowd. Say what you want to say, like it or lump it. We don't have menus here, curb service. You just hold out your tray and we fork over the sermon. God does not want separated people marrying unseparated people. It not only is the saved people marrying the unsaved was the sin, but the sons of God, who are the sons of God according to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 through 18, the sons of God are those that come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and ye shall be as sons and daughters, and I shall be as a father. Young people, if you'd listen to what I'm preaching tonight, it'll save hundreds of you heartache and sorrow. Don't you date anybody because she's cute. If she's one of those that likes to break the rules or stays just inside the rules, let somebody else have that hussy. she disobeys the rules in college or high school, she'll disobey your rules someday. If she doesn't love God's man of authority, she won't love the husband of authority. A person that rebels against authority will rebel against all authority. And she won't follow you, and she won't obey you, and she won't she won't be subservient to you. Why? I'll tell you why. Because she's a rebel now. You gals, quit looking at the physique. Quit looking at the cute dimple. You find you some fella. Listen, I want to tell you something. Some of you gals are settling for anything that wears pants. That's why you're marrying other gals. You could say that. Some of you gals are I want a husband. I want a husband. That's the worst thing you'll ever do. No. You'll settle for anything that comes along. Yeah, I've got to get married. Worst thing you'll ever do. There are literally scores of women sitting in this room right now who would love to walk up here on this platform and speak at this moment. There are scores of women who would like to walk up and stand up here and say, young people, you listen to what that man is saying. He said the same thing when I was in the pew and single. I didn't listen to him. Now there are dozens and scores of young ladies who would like to walk up here and say, listen to him. I didn't, and I'm sorry. They're living in hell. Why? Listen, when it says the sons of God marries the daughters of men, it was not talking about just the saved marrying the unsaved. It was talking about good Christians marrying bad Christians. It was talking about separated Christians marrying those that are not separated. You've got to listen. He says, well, I'll go to church on Sunday night when we get married. Make him go for about, well, first place, quit him. Make him go without dating you for about a year. And after he's gone to church for about a year without dating you, then you might give him a second chance. But don't you say, well, if you'll go to church Sunday night, I'll date you. Don't you date anybody you've got to date, you got to bribe to come to church on Sunday night. Don't you do it. All right? I'm saying that the line of Seth was marrying the Cain line. What was this sin? The line of Seth marrying the Cain line. What was this sin? Separated people marrying unseparated people. What else? They chose. Look back to Genesis chapter 6. Verse number 2. That the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives, all which they chose. You have no right to choose your wife. You have no right to choose your husband. God's supposed to choose your wife. Why, when Rebecca promised to marry Isaac, she hadn't even seen him. I'm not suggesting you do that. Though are there, though, many of you men here would be a lot, have come near to getting a wife. We had somebody in this church about 20 years ago. Found a Lonely Hearts magazine and saw an ad in it. Some guy in Canada wanted to get married. This gal wrote him. They got engaged to get married, set the wedding date, and had never seen each other. If you'd seen this girl, you'd know why. She is easy to see. I mean, she's the kind you could see from afar off. They met each other in the morning and got married in the afternoon. I'm not suggesting that. I believe in at least a 3-day courtship. But I'll tell you something else I'm not suggesting either. I am telling you tonight that God is supposed to choose your vocation. God is supposed to choose your school. God is supposed to choose your husband. and God is supposed to choose your wife. Now, I know this is as foreign to anything you believe or heard, but I don't care. Listen, it's right there in the book. Look, something happened in verses 1 and 2 that caused God to say, I'm going to destroy the world. And I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of whom they chose. Now, that verse, right, those two verses right there, caused God to say, I'm sick and tired. I'm sorry I made man. I'm going to destroy it. As soon as I can get a boat built big enough to preserve animal life on the earth and preserve. Listen to me, listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. It's not time to hug and court and pet and talk. It's time to hear God's man. You ought to be sitting up listening to what I'm saying. Some of you kids are going to have a life of sorrow and wreck, heart wreck and heartbreak. You listen to me. God Almighty said, I am going to kill everybody in America. Everybody in North America, everybody in South America, everybody in Europe, everybody in Asia, everybody in China, everybody in Japan, because of this sin. What was this sin? Saved people marrying unsaved people? Good Christians marrying bad Christians? Listen, you guys. Let me go and say, and thirdly, choosing your own. Listen, you guys are going to wear your long, shaggy hair. You can't wait to get out of school so you let your hair grow long. Nothing nauseates me anymore. And to see one of our graduates, now that he's away from the rules, he wants to show his own manhood. The only thing some of you guys have got that shows your manhood, your long hair and your beard. You haven't got enough manhood to stand on your own two feet. Listen. Your hair ought to be the same length 10 years after you graduate from Howells Anderson College it is tonight. Now, if you're that kind, and you can't wait till you get out for the holidays so you can live like you want to live, for the sake of decency, keep your dirty, sorry hands off our girls. I said keep your hands off our girls! You sorry son of Cain, wake up on the platform. Wake up in the choir. Listen to what I'm saying. You ought to be sitting here pulling for the preacher instead of taking a nap. Take your hands off our God. Listen, there's not one sorry, lustful, wicked, sensuous fella in the world who wants to marry a woman with the same morals he has. You have no right to have a clean girl if you're dirty and filthy. Keep your hands off our girls. And girls, if they come and try to ask you for a date, you say you shape up for about 5 years and then come back. And you little harlots that are clean because the rules make you be clean. You little whores whitewashed with rules. You keep your dirty eyes from blinking at our boys that are clean and pure. Marry your own kind. You're going to be a pagan, marry a pagan. You have no right to claim more than you give. You better know it's good. It'll be life-changing. God said, I'm going to destroy the whole human race. Why, God? Number one, by the way, some of you folks are going to say, my teenagers are getting up to River the House. My kids are getting up teenage years now. And I'm having a hard time controlling them. I think I'll find a church where they won't be so hard against sin. Well, you just take your little bags and pack them. I won't dip my sails for any of you. And what you ought to do when your kids get 13 and 14 and 15, you ought to go home and get on your knees and thank God you got a preacher that's got enough guts to say what I'm saying tonight. God Almighty said, I'm sick of the human race. I'm sorry I made man. Why? Because they married unsaved people. The separated folks married the unseparated folks, and they chose their own husbands and wives. Look at verse number 2 again. That the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all whom they chose. Now they chose. On what basis did they choose? They were pretty. They were pretty. Now you listen. I'm not against pretty girls. I'm for them. And I don't know what we'd do without them. All we had were these ugly males in this room tonight. I wouldn't even come to church. Not against girls being attractive. But God, hear me, God, hear me, God is against and abhors and hates the fact that you use as your main reason of wanting to date somebody the fact that she's cute or he's cute. You, listen, hey, you can talk after church. Listen to me. I've got something to tell you. I'm not against you marrying somebody who's pleasant to look at. But there are enough good, sweet, Christian young ladies who are pleasant to look at. You not to have to marry some second-class whore. And a whore is not somebody who just commits adultery. A whore is somebody who would if she'd get by with it. There are enough good-looking good guys without you marrying the good-looking bad guys. What was this sin? God's people married unsaved people. What was this sin? God's separated people married unseparated people of God. What was this sin? They married those that they chose. What was this sin? They chose on the basis that they were fair and pretty for their beauty only. I say it again, I'm not against beauty. But brother, you should never base your marrying somebody or dating somebody, hear me carefully, on anything that will change. Look, you're still going to be married when she's fat. Hear me again. Don't choose your mate on the basis of anything that will change. Well, the day's going to come and that neck's going to be flabby. The day's going to come and those crow's feet are going to be real big beside your eyes. The day's going to come and he won't be handsome. You better choose your mate on the basis of something he'll still have when you're 40 and 50 and 60 and 70 years old. I sure would like to go with her. She's cute. God hates that and destroyed the whole world because of it. Now what you ought to do is find out the good, clean Christian people, if you are one. You find them, and from that crowd, you can pray for God to lead you. Well, but listen carefully. You know whom God's going to lead you? Look, God gave you your appetite. God knows who can fill that appetite. God gave you your taste. God can lead you to the one that your taste will enjoy. He knows what you want more than you do. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. God knows what you want more than you do. You get on your knees and you pray for Almighty God to lead you to the right husband. And you get on your knees and you pray for God. And I'm not talking about lead you to a husband. God, give me a husband. He may do it. You heard about the gal that was 45 years old and wasn't married. She went out and prayed all night. The old owl was up in the tree. She said, "Oh God, give me a husband." The old owl went, "Whoo, whoo." She said, "Anybody, God. It doesn't matter. Anybody will do." Now you listen to me. You get the place where anybody will do, and she'll be an old hoot. Anybody won't do. Listen. Basically, the sin before the flood was the sin of men committing or choosing their own way. Now, you hear me carefully. The wickedness of sin is not just the wickedness of what you do. The devil's trying to get you not to do what God wants you to do. Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. The devil's not trying to get you to go his way. The devil's trying to get you to go your own way. He's not trying to get you to choose what he wants. He's trying to get you not to choose what God wants. And if he can get you to choose what you want, he'll have you choosing what God, not choosing what God wants. The devil's trying to keep you from doing what God wants you to do. He's trying to keep you from taking the vocation that God wants you to follow. He's trying to keep you from marrying the person God wants you to marry. And what you, listen, you'll come near finding not only a husband or a wife, but the right husband and the right wife. If you get on first place, you say, I am not going to date anybody unless they're sons of God. I don't mean saved. I mean sons of God in the sense they've come out from among them and been separate. Don't you date anybody that listens to rock music. You don't like that. Well, fluff it with sugar or salt. Don't you date anybody that goes to movie houses or brings the movie houses home. You know, my dad does that. Don't date him. By the way, you look at those movies, he'll try to date you one of these days. Don't you date anybody that does this dancing. Don't you date anybody that drinks socially. Don't you date anybody unless they love God. Unless they love God. They want to do God's will. Don't date them. Some old worldly guys right now. I'm talking about a guy at the high school right now. I'm talking about you loose girls at the high school. I'm talking about the young ladies at college not long ago that walked up to boys on the campus and said, I'd like to have sex with you. I'll guarantee you one thing. She's not going to be on our campus this week. If you're here right now, I'm announcing it. We're not going to have propositioners on Hiles Anderson College campus. You say, she's just kidding. There are enough clean jokes without kidding about propositioning somebody for sex. The devil says, you choose what job you have. You choose where you live. You choose what school you go to. But I've always wanted to be a... That's what caused the world to get destroyed. Since I was a boy, I've dreamed of being... That's what caused the world to be destroyed. That's the sin. You look down your snoot at other sins not so bad, such as murder and drunkenness. God would rather you kill that gal than make her live in hell the rest of her life. I'm going to be the get put in prison now for abetting crimes. But I'm saying that God didn't destroy the world for murder. And God didn't destroy the world for drinking. And God didn't destroy the world for homosexuality or adultery or whoremongers. God destroyed the world because the people said, we will do what we want to do. All right, let's go farther. You say, Father? Yeah, Father. What was the result of this? What was the result? Okay, look on, please, in Genesis chapter 3. Look on down to verse number 4. I want you to bear in mind, God had already decided to destroy the world. But during this 120 years, look what happened as a result of these people doing their own thing. There were giants in the earth in those days. And by the way, that word giant is a very interesting word. It means lawless people. It means anarchist. It means people that make their own laws and do their own thing. It's not talking about giants in the extent of being 10 feet tall. All right, there were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God, who are the sons of God? Just Christians? No, separated Christians.
came in with the daughters of men. Who are the daughters of men? People not separated or not saved, either one. And they bare children to them. The same became mighty men. And that term mighty men means heroes. Heroes. Men of renown, it says. Mighty men which were of old. Men of renown. Now listen carefully. The words mighty men means heroes. The words men of renown means famous. What did the offsprings of good Christians marrying non-separated Christians bring? It brought a generation of people who had lawless people as their heroes. The United States of America has built our homes on finding somebody who makes me tingle. Finding somebody who's cute, who sends me, who turns me on, and the offsprings of that generation, and the result of it is, we got a bunch of dirty, rotten, sensuous heroes like Michael Jackson and Silverstein or Silversmith and the Prince and Madonna and a bunch of sex-crazed harlots and whores in Hollywood are our heroes and heroines, and a bunch of athletes that are as wicked as the devil are our heroes. What we ought to do is raise a generation of people to whom God's leaders are their heroes. Go ahead and marry him because he's cute. Choose your own husband. Marry her because she's got a good figure. Choose your own wife. Forget whether she's spiritual. You can change her after you marry. You got to bet on that. I got a few bucks I'd like to invest. He won't change while you wear a size 8 dress. He won't change when you wear a 24. And you will wear a 24. What was the result of this wicked sin? God said, I'll destroy the whole world. 120 years from now, give Noah time to build that boat. But in the meantime, a generation of lawless people came from these wrong marriages, and their heroes were the Beatles, the Prince, Elvis Presley, the athletes, the movie stars, and the talk show host. I want to say something. I want to say it. You'd be shocked. You'd be shocked if you knew how many people have come to me since I met, what's her name? Oprah. On the airplane. Say, what was she like? Well, why do you care what she's like? She had a guy not married to her sitting over there across the aisle from me, hugging around on her, tickling her earlobe, kissing her neck, acting like heathen. She's your heroine. What was she like? Why don't you ask what Mrs. John Rice is like? Listen to me, young folks. Hey, over here on my left. Hey, listen to me. Listen to me, young lady. I'm preaching up here. I expect you to hear me. You need what I'm saying. Everybody in this house does. Because I don't like that kind of preaching. I don't like your kind of misbehaving either. I'm telling you tonight, if God will destroy a civilization over this, your life can be wrecked over the same thing. Oh, Tom Selleck just sends me. He'll send you to hell. Lee Robertson ought to send you. Tom Malone ought to send you. Heroes! God help us. Fundamentalist or as worldly as the devil. Sit out there and watch. Can't think of his name.
Arthur Donovan?
Donnie.
Arthur Donovan was a referee of Joe Louis' boxing matches. He's my hero. That's tranquilizer I take when I get mad. Except like the heathen do. What you don't know is most of your heroes and heroines are communists. Most of them are liberal in every area of their lives. But look at verse number 7. I'm sure you're asking, when are you going to get through? I don't know. If I see the end approaching, I will let you know. But as of now, I do not see it. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. Look back to verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of his and thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. And listen, I'm going to tell you what that means. That word imagination means purposes. His purposes were evil. What were his evil purposes? Doing his own thing? Well, it's my life. I can do what I want to with it. For one, last statement's true. You can do what you want to with it, but the first statement's a lie. It's not your life. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. If you do your own thing, you'll be stealing your life from Jesus Christ because he purchased you on the cross. But this is not why God destroyed them. God did not destroy them because they had the wrong heroes. They had the wrong heroes because God destroyed them. And God destroyed them, was going to destroy them because they decided where they'd live. They decided their vocations. They decided their mates. They decided what they'd do. The sin was marrying people that you choose. It was marrying people that are not Christians or people that are not good Christians if you are a dedicated, separated Christian. And marrying primarily for beauty. Some of the sweetest girls in this room tonight who would make you a loving wife are totally overlooked because they're not good sculptors. They're not good artists. They can't draw on the canvas of the face a pretty picture. I'm saying, are you listening to me? I'm not trying to keep you from marrying somebody that's attractive. I'm trying to keep you from marrying somebody that's attractive on the outside and not attractive on the inside. Now, my Bible's very plain. It says, let not your adorning be your hair, your jewelry, or your dress, but the inner beauty of the heart. If there's no inner beauty, the outer beauty is going to fade. I tell you what, that outer beauty, that little waistline, that's 19 inches now, will be 39 inches later on. But that inner beauty will never leave. Some of the sweetest girls were overlooked. Some of the finest young men are overlooked. Now, listen carefully. I'm going to tell you. I recommend sometimes a young man to ask a young lady for a date. And she refuses him. Why? Because he's not good looking. You might be surprised on that first date what he might show you that he has in his personality and his character that'll cause you to think that's the best looking guy you ever saw in your life. Let's see. Some of you guys, some guy said to me, I said, how about dating so-and-so? She's not very pretty. Well, the guy that said that, would be wise if he put somebody else's picture on his mirror. I guarantee you, on a college campus or a high school campus, there's almost always one guy that all the girls want, or one girl all the guys want. And many, many of the sweetest girls you'll ever find in this world, and the finest men you'll ever find in this world, young men, are overlooked totally. Because I'm not saying don't look for beauty. I'm saying don't look just for beauty. And don't consider anybody's beauty unless first you find out if they're separated, dedicated Christians. Basically, the whole thing is caused by running with the wrong crowd. It destroyed Jehoshaphat. When the wicked Ahab got in touch with Jehoshaphat, Ahab the northern kingdom king, Jehoshaphat the king of the good southern kingdom, and he was a good godly man. But Ahab said, let's get together and go take Ramoth and Gilead together. Separately we can't do it, but together we can. Let's go up there and take Ramoth and Gilead. And Jehoshaphat and his wife went up to visit Ahab and Jezebel, and they took their daughter, their son. And when Jehoram, their son, met, what was her name? Athaliah, the daughter of Jezebel, who was Jezebel Jr. Yes, Jezebel Jr. is. They fell for each other. And Jehoram, son of Jehoshaphat, married Athaliah, the Jezebel daughter of Jezebel and Ahab. And she came down to the southern kingdom and destroyed it just like her mama had destroyed the northern kingdom. Now, if Jehoshaphat, the godly king, can't run the wrong crowd without it hurting him, you're not strong enough to either. If Balaam, the greatest preacher of his generation, destroyed his whole nation because he ran with the wrong crowd and caused the same thing to happen that happened in Genesis chapter 6, and the only reason God doesn't destroy the world again because God promised he wouldn't, if Jehoshaphat can't run with the wrong crowd and be burned, and if Balaam can't run with the wrong crowd without being burned, and the Omen Limelech can't run with the wrong crowd without being burned, and if Lot can't, and if Peter couldn't, and David couldn't, and Solomon couldn't, I doubt if you can. I'm thinking about a preacher right now. Used to pastor a strong church up in Canada. I've used him as illustration many times. He was the kind of preacher that had years ago had Dr. John Rice come preach for him. That's how fundamental he was. He decided he was going to join up in revival meetings with liberals. He did. He started down. I've said many times, you don't catch good health. One mono plus one no mono equal two monos. You don't get somebody to say, hey, this person's got mono. Are you in good health? Yeah, kiss this person's got mono so she can be healed. Here's a guy that's got hepatitis. He's bad sick. Go kiss him. Say what? I'd rather kiss a guy with hepatitis than kiss a guy that's not a good Christian. But you don't catch good health. One hepatitis plus one non-hepatitis equal two hepatiti. Well, I know this language, boy. You college English teachers are impressed, I know. So this preacher had a fundamental church, would have John Rice preach for him, and you have John Rice preach for you, that's about it. Decided to have revivals with the heathen crowd. The National Council of Churches came to him and said, we'd like you to be sponsored by us as one of our evangelists. Next step down. He said, I'll preach the truth. I don't care who you are, you preach with the wrong sponsorship and you'll trim your message. What happened? He resigned the ministry, went to Hollywood, became a Hollywood script writer. I saw him one day interviewed on Canadian television. I was in Canada. And he said, I am now an avowed atheist. I do not believe in the existence of a God. Where did it start? When he decided to cooperate with the liberals, Sit up straight, look at me, and I'll finish. So many of you, listen carefully. It'll be the last sermon you'll hear me preach. Well, many of you are so mad you'll never come back. That's why I'm unloading the whole truck while you're here. God Almighty destroyed a civilization. The entire world, except four men, four women, He pronounced that judgment because the people were doing four simple things that God said were the wickedest things that He could imagine. God's people marrying the devil's people. God's separated people marrying God's unseparated people. God's people choosing their own mates. And God's people choosing them solely on the basis of their looks. You say, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say, run with the right crowd. There's a crowd at Hammond Baptist High School you shouldn't run with. You know who they are. Everybody in school knows who they are. If you're one of them, change. There's a crowd at Howells Anderson College you shouldn't run with. You know who they are. They know who they are. And if we knew who they were, they wouldn't be there. But they're smart. They lie on their activity report. Can't wait till summer comes, so then go home, strip half naked. You shouldn't run with them. Now, you shouldn't be unkind to them either. You shouldn't be unkind to anybody ever. You ought to be friendly as you pass in the hall. As you pass in the hall. As you pass. That means he's going this way, you're going that way. Hello. How are you today? Have a nice day. He's with them. How are you going to change them if you don't socialize with them? One hepatitis plus one no hepatitis equal two hepatitis. Hepatitis. And you won't change them. They'll change you. And I said in the college last week something. There's something about people that are rebels. There is a mental, spiritual connection. They have some kind of an odor that makes the people of like odor drift to them. They can tell who you are. Some kind of a radar on the inside. Listen to me. Same kind of thing that the birds that fly south. I mean, I told Susan, it's like that dog we tried to get rid of when I was a kid. Did you ever try to get rid of a dog? An old hound dog, you want to get rid of, take him 10 miles away. Let him out. He'll beat you home. They find each other. There is a radar that rebels have, and they get together. I'll guarantee you, within a week after school starts, in any school we have here, the rebels will be together. They find each other. It just may be that to everybody in this room tonight that's unmarried, you just heard the most important sermon you'll ever hear. It just may be. I'll guarantee you. Brother, I don't agree with you. I haven't told you what I believe yet. I have showed you Scripture tonight, and it's irrefutable. Why God Almighty destroyed the entire world. You're not wicked because you drink. You're wicked because you choose what you do. Wickedness is anything other than what He chooses for you. And the main wickedness is not what you do, it's what you do causes you not to do. Father, I'm going to quit. I don't want to quit. I'm going to quit. I'm not going to tell any sad story. I'm just going to preach the truth. I pray you'd help the people tonight, unmarried, to heed what I preached. And I pray you'd help the moms and dads to stand with me on this matter. Please. Amen. Shall we stand?